Blog Talk Radio.
Things will never be the same. You're busting your fist against the stone wall. You're not using your brain.
What the man wants you to do, look at you. What makes you ashamed of being black?
You might even know how hard it is being a woman, a black woman at that. In this white man's world, sometimes we overlook the fact that we can ride hard in our streets, we won't be knowing the pain we be caused.
This white man's world,
this white man's world. I ain't saying I'm innocent at all, man.
In this white man's world,
this song, yeah. All those times that I messed up, but we messed up.
Dear sister, got me twisted up in prison, I miss you. Crying, looking at my nieces and my nephews, bitch. They say don't let this cruel world get you. Kinda suspicious, swearing one day you might leave me for somebody that's richer. Twist the cap off the bottom, I take a sip and see tomorrow. Gotta make it if I have to beg a bottle. Beating love letters, late night, locked down and quiet. Your brothers don't receive they mail, best believe we ride. Eating Jack Mack, staring at the walls, side to side, this cage where they captured all my ways and bonds. In time I learned a few lessons, never fall for riches. Apologies to my true sisters, far from bitches. Help me raise my black nation, reparations to do. It's true, caught up in this world, I took advantage of you. Tell the babies how I love them, precious boys and girls, born black in this white man's world.
And on the road,
I'm Frank all day, all the real OGs. Out there.
The seal and the Constitution say, we always say the Black Panther Party, that they can do anything they want to us. We might not be back. I might be in jail. I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can know what I said with the last words on my lips. And I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am the people. I'm not the pig. You've got to make a distinction. And the people are going to have to attack the pig. The people are going to have to stand up against the pig. That's what the Panthers are doing. That's what the Panthers are doing all over the world.
Fred.
Hit me!
There's not a minute to spare.
Don't worry.
There's not a minute to spare.
Don't worry.
Going, gone. Now I dialed 911 a long time ago. Don't you see how late they're reacting? They only come and they come when they wanna. They'll get some more truck and then bomb the corner. They don't care cause they stay paid anyway. They treat you like an ace that can't be betrayed. I know you stumble but no use people. If your life is on the line, then you're dead today. Late comers with the late comers, such as a body bag in disguise, y'all, I'll bet ya. I call them body snatchers cause they come to fetch you with an autopsy ambulance that says I text ya. They are the kings cause they swing amputations. Lose your arms, your legs, and them in compilation. I can prove it to you, watch the rotation. It all adds up to a f***ing situation. Look it up or get down. 911 is joking, yo town. Get up or get down. Late 911, where's the late crown? Get up or get down. 911 is joking, yo town. Get up or get down. Late 911, where's the late crown? Correct. You can ask my man right here with the broken neck. He's a winner to the job never being done. He would have been a full effect. The late 911 was a joke, cause the owl is joking. A day to talk until your life when it's broken. They need to be in the pawn shop on them. 911 is a joke, we don't want them. I call a cow cause the cow will come quicker. The doctors huddle up and call a flea flicker. Reason why I say that cause they flick you off like fleas. They be laughing at you while you're crawling on your knee. Or to the stream, to go to limp. You are first when you really are pimp. You better wake up and smell a real flavor. Cause 911 is a fake lifesaver. To get up or get down. 911 is joking, yo town. Get up or get down. Late 911, where's the late crown? Get up or get down. 911 is joking, yo town. Get up or get down. Late 911, where's the late crown? Get up, get down. 911 is joking the old town. Get up, get down. Late 911, where's the late crown? Get up, get down. 911 is joking the old town. Get up, get down. Late 911, where's the late crown?
Tomorrow, you
fuck around, get indicted, ain't no tomorrow. My homie locked up, this 6 years tight. But 6 years is nothing to this kid's life. Off in a cage for the rest of his days. A price that he paid for the mistake he made. So I'm on focus cause my lifestyle's broken. I got to get out cause this fast life's over.
Justifies the scene. Poverty and unemployment justifies the screen. The reason sex is paper justifies clean. 2006 would choose the size of me. But in the end he wasn't really what he tried to be. I never let the war justify me. I question how hard some of these cats really be. Cause real niggas don't speak, our actions talk more. Don't make me flip and turn these streets into a chalkboard. I do this for all the real niggas that smoke trees. The husbands, players, pimps, for the up and coming cats to the old schoolers, the ones that remember Private Stock and Calvin Coolidge. It's a struggle to make it, keep pushing, see how far you can take it. Two-eyed and one-eyed navigated one.
Motherfucking dick sucking, redneck, son of a bitch. All it takes is one pussy who ain't getting none to catch you on a dark street and put you to sleep. Dude was one deep at the store. He said I ain't no hoe. Got clapped in the back of his throat. Woo! It didn't have to go like that. Believe me, mister. Someday niggas gonna respect these pistols. Pay the stake, get out the way when a fool got the up. Try to get a motherfucker shot in the gut. And remember this before you gone, till the day that you gone. Greedy don't last too long. The secret is to win, jump out the game and have money for life. Not to stick around till you lose all your shit to the fight.
You've got to be who you are, and all the stuff you'll find peace in the end. Don't cry.
I got to explain to you also your soul, your needs, your political desires and needs, because that is Huey's soul. When we first organized the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, Huey said, Bobby, he says, we're going to draw up a basic platform, just basic, that black people can read. He says, we don't want to go real elaborate with all these essays and dissertations and all this stuff, because the brother gonna look at that and he say, man, I ain't got time for that. I gotta go see what I can do for myself. It's just a basic platform that the mothers who struggle hard to raise us, that the fathers who worked hard, that the young brothers in school who come out of school semi-illiterate. You say, we want freedom, we want power to determine the destiny of our black community, full employment for our people. Number three, we want housing fit, decent housing fit for shelter of human beings. Number four, we want all black men to be exempt from military service. Number five, we want decent education for our black people in our community that teaches us the true nature of this decadent racist society, and to teach black people and our young black brothers and sisters their place in society, because if they don't know their place in society and in the world, they can't relate to anything else. Number six, we want an end to the robbery by the white racist businessmen of black people and black people in their communities. Number seven, we want an immediate end to police brutality and murder of black people. Number eight, we want all black men held in county, state, federal jails and prisons to be released because they have not had a fair trial because they've been tried by all white juries, and that's just like being tried in Germany being a Jew. Number eight, we want black people, number nine, when brought to trial, to be tried by members of their peers. And a peer being one who comes from the same economic, social, religious, historical, and racial background. If the United States government and the courts and the local courts did this, they would have to choose black people from the black community to sit up on the jury. They'd have to choose some of the mothers who've been working 20 years in Miss Ann's kitchen scrubbing floors like my mother done. They have to choose some of them hard-working fathers. They have to choose some of those brothers who stand on the block out there wondering where they're going to get a gig. They're going to have to choose these black people. And number 10, he would say, let's just summarize it. We want housing, we want clothing, we want education, we want justice, and we want peace. This is a basic platform. In case you never knew it or not, of all the things that you've heard in the press, of all the derogatory statements that's been made in the press about Brother Huey P. Newton and I, of all these derogatory statements to guide you away from seeing this basic platform that Huey was talking about for his own people. We have to learn to look through the white press. We have to learn to see what's going on. Now, out of this platform, Huey P. Newton realized that it was necessary for us to start working on these points, these 10 points, practically. Remember number seven? We want an immediate end to police brutality and murder of black people. This is very, very important. And here, whether you know it or not, is where you start dealing with the black revolution. When Huey says, every black man put a shotgun in your home. And once we let the man know, say, look, we armed from block to block, and we're going to patrol you from our windows. And we're not going to have you brutalizing none of our people in the streets. Do you realize what kind of power black people have then? Because you begin to neutralize that police force, because them cops are going to start riding shaky and scared. In fact, we're in a position then to demand that they withdraw from our community because they occupy our community just like a foreign troop occupies territory. Very important to understand. We hate cops beating black people over their heads and murdering them. That's what we hate. If you got enough energy to sit down and hate a white person just because of the color of his skin, you're wasting a lot of energy. You better take that same energy and put it in some motion out there and start dealing with those oppressive conditions, and you're going to find out just what you hate and what you're going to stop. We are organizing to stop racism. You dig it? When you stop racism, you stop brutality and murder of black people by the racist occupying army in our black community. That's what we're going to stop. What's being done to us? You dig it? Can you dig the white power structure and this racist police force and how they've escalated the situation? That before Watts, there was 1,300 cops. Now there's 6,000 cops patrolling black people. That in Oakland, they had 350 cops. Just 3.5 years ago, now they got 1,000 cops patrolling black people. San Francisco's double its police force, and every area, major metropolis where black people live all across this country, they've doubled, tripled, and quadrupled their police force, equipped them with tanks, all kinds. We got to stop it, brother. Let's get together and unify.
Hey, water out to Jerusalem, from Finland to Delacre. Ah, you tell you see a plan, and I'll come on mission. I'll make sure who no permit at the Yamagidian. So when you told me come on man, him know that's where you stand. Him know him poop and set it, so him follow tradition. If Marcus Garvey said be read, then we come on a pray. Can knowledge of the key and it be set the people free. And highly high philosophy, it's African unity. Who no watches segregation and social impurity. The rest is not just for the swift, but those who can endure. Make sure you have a steady footing in as I am done, and keep your thoughts secure. The love is for the poor, but some little boy I bought some gun, them woman can't afford. If just a blood will run, so the danger will be done. The heaven and the earth will pass away before him word will come. But if it finds it out a cause, there will be no reward. For you to enter Zion gates because you are a fraud. For the youth in the struggle, ooh, yeah, fighting guerrilla warfare. Ah, ah, hey. Somalia to Ethiopia, from Egypt to Zimbabwe. I listen as they say a war. If Cola is a scar, if one from every nation can come live up on a bar. So don't care who you are, there's a brighter morning star. It's shining, wake the town and tell the people near and far. You seek and you research, with science and research. The flesh it is the temple and the temple is the church. I listen as it's every work, so awesome on alert. Don't fix up on them corners, I like rubbish sheep on dirt. I listen as it's say a one, respect for every man. Look here the race, look here the color, not the religion. So make a decision, be born the division. Cause each and every race I use the chat for the nation. From Portmore to Kingston, from Kingston to Mantico Bay. Seaview to Riverton, come on 100 Barclays. From Jungle to Rima, from Tevele to Matthews Lane. Outside to Tel Aviv, from Iraq to USA.
You go busting your fist against a stone wall. You're not using your brain. That's what the white man wants you to do. Look at you. What makes you ashamed of being black?
Number love for you.
You know how hard it is. Don't doubt. Being a woman, a black woman at that. In this white man's world. Sometimes we overlook the fact that we can ride hard in our cities. We don't be knowing the pain we be causing.
It's white man's world.
It's white man's world. I ain't saying I'm innocent at all,
this. And it's white man's world.
This song, yeah. For all those times that I messed up, but we messed up.
Dear sister, got me twisted up in prison, I miss you. Crying, looking at my nieces and my nephews' picture. They say don't let this cool world get you. Kinda suspicious, swearing one day you might leave me for somebody that's richer. Cap off the bottom, I take a sip and see tomorrow. Gotta make it if I have to beg a bottle. Beating love letters late night, locked down and quiet. If brothers don't receive they mail, best believe we ride. Eating Jack Mack, staring at the walls, silent inside the cage where they captured all my ways and bonds. In time I learned a few lessons, never fall for riches. Apologies to my true sisters, far from bitches. Help me raise my black nation, reparations to do. It's true, caught up in this world, I took advantage of you. So tell the babies how I love them, precious boys and girls, born black in this white man's world.
And on the road,
I'm gonna be like us.
Yeah.
They all wanna be like us.
Yeah.
To be the
hell
not.
Oh,
yeah.
Get off
that
shadow.
Oh, yeah.
direction in the blink of an eye. My time away just made perfection. Cause I think I die. Not going far, why should I care? Like we holding on to lost love that's no longer there. Can you please help me? God bless me, please keep my seeds healthy. Begging all my enemies, please, while my G's wealthy. Hoping they bury me with ammunition.
Black power, black power, black power, black nation. We're tuned in to In Defense of the People weekly Tuesday night broadcast at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, People's Political Party National Chairman, Brother Nat Turner. Hello, your co-host, National Minister of Defense, Brother Motherland, and myself, your engineer on the ones and twos, National Minister of Communications, Sister Amika. Okay, how you doing? Calling every Tuesday night, same black place, same black time, 845-277-9266. Press number one to participate. Tonight's topic is an update on the war against black men. I'm going to go ahead and open the line for you, Chairman. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I surely can. Can you hear me?
You hear? I'm going to go on mute.
You hear? Right on. Yeah, man, we're going to, you know, go into it. You know, tonight's show. You know, just the latest update or the update on the war on black men. You know, I'm just gathering, you know, just some of the more recent cases. You know, some of these cases. We're gonna get into, but we'll explain what we mean by the you know, war on black men, because this is what it is. Certain elements have been you know, fed to us, you know, collectively as leaders, have placed another type of veil over what we see as a war against black men, you know, in this country, under this system, the system itself, in various ways to carry out war against our black men. There are a number of things, a number of factors that come into play, which leads to this particular type of war. As a book I read a long time ago, name of the book is ISIS Papers. excuse me. It was written by Dr. Francis Quest, Dr. Francis Press Wilson, and I would recommend that book to be read, you know, by brothers and sisters who want to understand the war that's been waged against black men from sexual implications, complications, to political forces, economic forces, and whatnot. It's an extraordinary book. And Dr. Wilson, she dealt with, you know, the realm of psychology or psychiatry. In other words, the psyche of the European. You know, the psyche of Europeans and how they interact with the so-called other in these various, what I've learned referred to as psychosocial sexual neurosis, neurotic behavior. This psychosis is the, you know, runs along the line of a psychopath. And speaking of that, there's another small book written by Brother Bobby Wright. I believe back in the, may have been the 80s or the 90s, and it's called Psychopathic Racial Personality. And it's a small book. It's a very small book. Some would refer to it as a just above a pamphlet, you know. But it's an extraordinary book and so much in in-depth understanding in so little pages. Those two books, you know, really put things in perspective for me as a young black man in this country. You know, the different forces. Dr. Welson, she took these, the different, like, subjects or subject matter as it relates to the whole so-called American pie, society, culture, you know, the things that Americans indulge in, you know, sports, entertainment, whatnot. And it was just fascinating the way she did it, sort of like a pie. You know, you cut a pie up into like 10, 12 pieces, you know. And then she took each, like, topic or subject and dove into it. You know, she talked about entertainment. She talked about sports. And particularly sports. The symbolisms of so-called ball games, you know, where she connected sports ball games with black male superiority. You know, the superior athletic black man up against the inferior unathletic white man, so to speak. And these are the type of things that went back to the physical plantation, you know, which we still on. You know, they just call them jobs, you know. And this thing about the Mandinka, you know, the big, you know, Mandingo. And these terminologies got transferred over into sexual connotations. No, it gets deep, but we want to lay down the foundation and what we feel that too many people may not actually be doing when it comes to black men and this apparent antagonistic relationship that we have with the state. And again, what we mean by the state is the politician, the judge, no, the politician, the businessman, the judge, and the pig, which is the label that the Black Panther Party had devised after carefully analyzing the police apparatus of the state, which is an arm of the state. It's the first line of defense, a local standing army. And the Black Panther Party were correct in their assessment, not out of some reactionary, spontaneous anger and rage and hatred. They clearly summed up the relationship between the police and the so-called black community, which in that time was the ghetto terminology and term that we still use today. You know, more now, so is so-called urban areas or urban environments, you know, the hood, you know. But they were able to correctly assessed the police. And it was an interview that Huey P. Newton, National Minister of Defense and co-founder of the Black Panther Party, had been in, and the reporter was asking or speaking on the police and whatnot, Black Panther Party position and their thought on police and about this thing about serve and protect and all this kind of stuff, law and order. And so Huey P. Newton just simply said that the police could not possibly be there to protect us because we don't own anything. And so what were they actually there for? They're actually there for to basically keep the structure intact. And what is the structure? White male patriarchal rule and dominance being the controllers of the power and therefore the structure, therefore able to wield its power over those that they have charge over economically, politically, socially, but basically economically and politically. And so it is due to that that from the very beginning that black men were doomed. One point being a value commodity, a value in the capitalist system in terms of producing. And so this was the role of the black male slave. And let me say this, I'm not excluding black women, no way, shape, or form. It's just that there's this particular type of relationship where black men seem to, quote unquote, catch hell from these different angles and the conditions that are created, that are manufactured synthetically. There's nothing natural about the conditions that we find ourselves in this country as people of African descent, and particularly black men, since they by nature naturally will be leaders of families, leaders of communities, protectors of community and whatnot, you know. So we just wanted to, like I say, you know, just put this in context, you know, a foundation so we can get to where we need to be. We don't believe in just talking shit, you know, just going on and on and rambling on about something and just, you know, just saying something and without giving it any substance, you know. We like to delve into it so therefore our people could get a clear understanding of what it is we're up against and what we're facing. The material conditions that lead to concrete situations. You know, these concrete situations that is our reality, and particularly black men. And so this is what Dr. Wilson was able to get a lot of us to understand and see. And so did Brother Bobby Wright when he psychoanalyzed the white male psyche and these particular type of neurotic behaviors, you know, that the so-called white man seems to wallow in, seems to indulge himself in, which naturally would make him an opposing force to a people that he sees as the other. They've had instances where they've had their own internal squabbles, very violent ones, and they've learned to basically overcome those differences and go in league together, which is what they've started by calling themselves the League of Nations. And so to keep from being accused of white supremacy or neglect or racism or prejudice, they sprinkle in a few non-white nations to make it look like it's the world. And so any nation that doesn't go along with the program is seen as a regime, as a dictatorship, because that nation simply wants to be left the fuck alone and operate like they know how to operate, like they always have been operating. And so one naturally becomes rebellious if another man enters your arena and tells you how you must conduct your affairs when you had been doing it previous to him and you had been having basic cohesion and peace collectively, and everybody was in general able to eat and have the basic necessities of life, food, clothing, and shelter. Until one comes under a real dictatorship, a real regime, which in itself is basically fascist. And what do we mean by fascist? Fascismo, as what Benito Mussolini referred to it as, the Italian leader during the so-called World War II. And he had simply said that it's just basically no more, no less than the combination or the combining of the government and the corporation. And they therefore run shit. And this is where we're at today. And anybody who would like to step forward and show us different, that this is not fascism, which is what they have done in terms of replacing that word with such terms as corporatism or a plutocracy based on the so-called smallest of the nine planets, a little tiny Pluto. So what they were saying to you in essence is it's a small handful of motherfuckers who creating havoc for everybody else due to their own selfish ambitions to be wealthy and amass power so they can dictate not only here in this shithole but around the world. And have caused mayhem and havoc everywhere, and particularly among black and brown people, due to this type of psychosis of the mind. The Nation of Islam back in the 50s and the 60s would just simply say that the white man is the devil. You know, to sum it up. But we like to actually paint a more in-depth picture as to why, if he is the devil, and to give you an understanding of how the shit go, which leads to what? Natural confrontations. A people who was never designed to prosper. Look, all this shit about some keep hope alive and we can put this country on the right path, or it's not too late. This still can be the greatest country of all time. Some of them are already calling it the greatest country, greatest civilization of all time, and all this bullshit. But let's be realistic. If we came from a historical perspective, we looked at it, and like Malcolm X told us to do, while everybody else was just going on and just babbling on about nothing. And this is the part where a lot of people have trouble with. We're just, you know, look at no tree, you know, some branches on the tree. Bullshit. But if we were to look at this from a historical perspective, what do we have? We'd have to be out of our freaking minds to believe that these people have established themselves off the backs of black and brown people by using force and violence. And had the nerve enough to be clutching the Bible in the other hand, claiming that they was Christians. So right from the very beginning, there was a contradiction. So it could never have been on any part of their ruling class to, quote unquote, let us be their equals. Equality. I'd rather have equity over equality. At least it gives me a better chance. But I would rather liberation over both of them. Liberalism, reformism is just no more nor less than an extension, a willing tool of the state. If you understand the most extreme types of whites, who are they? You know, the ones that, you know, they try to put out there, you know, push out there to you, you know, like the neo-Nazis and Ku Klux Klan and the white nationalist militia and all this type of shit. Yeah, those are the extreme whites. And then you have the conservative whites. And then you got these liberal whites. Now ask yourself, if we had to deal with all three of them, would we be their equals? In other words, what I'm saying is here. We know that these extreme whites, you know, they put us back in fucking chains. They resegregate every goddamn thing. The conservative whites just, you know, they turn that shit loose. And they say, look, let the niggas have the front of the bus. Let the niggas have the front of, you know, let the niggas have the lunch counter. You know, let them have that shit. Let them have the school where our little white kids go. But it's one thing, just like they said when Obama became president, black people got beside themselves and started talking that shit about calling it the Black House. Those white boys on those motorbikes say, look at here, nigga, it's still the White House. And they were correct in that assessment. They were very correct. So a people who's held under rule of thumb of another group who never had any intentions on sharing no power, the situation will only be ripe for an explosion, a confrontation off into the future. Old pig George Washington even understood that shit. He's known for making some statement about, for he shudders knowing that God is just, or he trembles for knowing that God is just. What God is he talking about? What he was talking about was off into the future, the things that they did, him and Pig Franklin, him and Pig Jefferson, him and Pig Madison, and all the rest of those fucking pigs. What they did, he knew there was going to be some blowback off into the future. And now that the shit is here, the pigs got to really stay in motion and got to stay in action. What is their role? What is their job? Let's be realistic. Okay, we had 10 so-called police officers in the room. Yeah, the chances is one of them may be decent. We ain't tripping on all for that. But we know it's not about him. It's about the role of the police as an apparatus under the system of capitalism, which therefore places them in a contradictory relationship with black men. It's simple as that. You can go get whoever you want. You can go get Benjamin Crump and let Benjamin Crump get on TV, you know, with the George Floyd thing, him and Al Sharpton, and they going on and talking about some New Day. Isn't that right, Reverend Al? What New Day? You know how long, you know how many times black people done heard that shit? A New Day for what? Our New Day comes when we achieve liberation. That's the New Day. So, laying this little foundation, just putting shit in some context to it, you know, this, you know, the latest, an update on the war against black men. And what has become so so fashionable. You know, well, you know, black men, you know, who are shot down or murdered, you know, what we like to refer to as executed by the judge, jury, and the executor, which is the police man, you know, which is the police man. And if there's any police who want to call in and beg to differ and try to explain the role of the police in another life, feel free to do so. But beware. But beware. But beware. We're not having that shit. Straight up. This ain't no rhetoric. It is what it is. It is what it is. It is what it is. Several cases we can, you know, way back to, you know, Brother Trayvon Pelham in 2020, you know, just a couple of years out, you know, last year, you know, the Circle K, you know, gunned down, you know what I'm saying? The justification for it. We have in Houston, Jalen Randle, you know, this is 2022, not 2022, my bad. But you had the case with Jalen Rand, you know. 2022, my bad. April 27th, you know, in Houston, executed by Pig Shane Privet. And this brother here, latest victims, you know, of this war on black men. You know, when they speak about war, or they when they lose one of their, they speak about casualties. You know, and it's as ugly as that may sound. You know what I'm saying? As brutal as it may sound. You know, in a war, there will be casualties, and this is what this is. You know, the notion it's about. It's about who controlling the narrative. You know, it's about who controlling the narrative about how do you define war. You know what I'm saying? Or if you take the Black Panther Party, the son of a politically murdered Chairman Fred, you know, when they assess the Black Panther Party rise and demise. He put it in political perspective, in war terms, you know, a political, military perspective, whereas the Black Panther Party was defeated militarily, but they were not defeated politically, ideologically. They were defeated militarily, but they were not defeated ideologically. And if you look at the Panther 10-point program, you will see their ideology. And we as the People's Political Party, we believe that the 10-point program of the Black Panther Party is still relevant today after over 50 years. We believe that it's still relevant today. You know. So, taking that in perspective, this relationship again. You know, these brothers who have become casualties. This brother here, to my understanding, was shot in the back of the neck. He was shot in the back of the neck. And this pig, who executed this brother, we refer to a state-backed execution. And why did we say state-backed execution? Because it's historic. It's historic. It's historic. It's a historic track record. You know, don't take my word for it, but it's a historic track record. You know, the pig has basically managed to get off. You know, it was basically, even when he was beating the shit out of Rodney King on video. And we had always, back then, you know, there was this thing, there was this belief that only we can catch them on film doing it, you know, only we can catch them on video and say, look, you know, go to the fucking mayor, go to the governor, you know what I'm saying? Go to the so-called police chief, you know, who's supposed to be the leader of some benevolent police force, some morally and ethically shaped professional, all these terms that they like to heap praise upon themselves. And then when they just get through talking that shit, one of their own go and contradict them, and then what do? They go and scramble around and back door meetings and shit, close door meetings, and try to figure out how they was going to paint this picture. But what they do, they call him a rogue officer. He was a rogue officer. We don't believe that shit. The state is rogue. It's simple as that, man. It's simple as that. We don't believe that we just talking shit. We believe that what we're saying is correct. If you look at it, if you take a good peel back the layers behind all the smoke screens and shit. You know, we live in a brutal society. You know, brute force. You know, the common denominator for the referred to as the Anglo-American establishment is brute force. You know, everything that the Europeans have used brute force to accomplish their goals. You can't name one place that they went in and didn't use brute force. And then once they did it, they was able to create the perfect conditions to keep the victims from using revolutionary force to extricate themselves out of the shit. You know, this is his story. I don't have to make this shit up. Or what they say, you can't make this up. You know, that's becoming one of the more famous lines. Like, you can't make this up. Well, that's what we're doing tonight. We can't make it up. You know? And so you shoot a man in the back of the neck. Well, the autopsy. You know? So what happened? You know, what happened? And this pig privet, Shane, had previously had a so-called running with his own law back in 2017. He was accused of assault or something and indicted in 2019. But that shit was of no avail. They got this language that they use, you know. In the legal world, they use language to hold themselves aloof from the average Joe and Joanne. You know what I'm saying? You have to go pay somebody to tell you, to explain you what the shit. But they got some shit called no build. You know, like, you know, you was not billed for the room. It was free. Some shit like that. But you know, this is the language that they use. You know, fuck, what is no build? You know what I'm saying? Then his record was expunged. You know what I'm saying? I mean, record was wiped clean. And we shouldn't be surprised. You know, neither should we be dismayed. You know, this is our reality. This is our reality. You know what I'm saying? This is our reality. I mean, it's like, you wash my back, I'm going to wash your back. This is the relationship. This is why, you know, you take them forward, the politician, the businessman, the judge, and the police, and you see that they have a very close relationship with one another, you know. They all spell each other. You know what I'm saying? They all spell each other. Just like, you know, on the football field, you know, you have 11 players on offense. Everybody has a role. If you remove the offensive line from in front of the fucking quarterback, he's in trouble. He can't do shit. He's going to get his ass broke up. You know? Can't do shit. You know? If you take the wide receivers off the ends, you know, how they going to get downfield? You know, when they need to get a lot of yardage, you know, on one down after they done fouled up a play or something, got a penalty for holding or something, got to go back 10 more yards. They already tank, you know, they already need 10 yards, you know, to get fucked first down. Now they get another 20. Another thing, now it's 20. So, you know, you take the running back out, what do you have? So everybody got their own role in relationship with one another. And that's what the politician, the businessman, the judge, and the police, that's what takes place. You know, that's what takes place. You know, and it's unfortunate. You know, black mothers, black women have been suffering for 500 years. Look, this shit just didn't start in the 70s or the 50s or the 60s. This shit started in the bottom of them fucking boats. You know what I'm saying? It shit started the bottom of those boats, those ships, boats, what do you want to call them, at the bottom of the human cargo. That's when their misery began. You know what I'm saying? We diagnosed with all these things. It's amazing how the descendants is diagnosing the fucking, you know, the victims of the shit with all these different, you know, diagnoses, bipolarism, you know, mental disorder, schizophrenia, paranoia, all types of shit. And the cool part about it, it's a money-making venture. You know what I'm saying? It's a fucking money-making venture. But black women have been suffering. And the only thing that can end that is our liberation. It's our liberation. You can't vote that shit out. You can't pray it away. You can't appeal to these motherfuckers' moral character because they don't have none. Look at their history. They've shown you that shit. It's clear as night is from day. In Akron, we had a brother named by the name of Jalen Walker, executed by the pig. July 15th, 2022. Here, this brother, a 25-year-old black man, say he was shot more than 40 times. You know? And you want to talk about overkill. How do we explain that? Man, shit. There's no holes barred tonight, man. Straight up. We ain't leaving shit out. Point blank. You have to wonder about that. You know, every so, you know, the police officer has to go and qualify. Okay, you know, to make sure his aim is still, you know, still straight. You know, he's still, you know, know how to shoot or whatever. He's talented about using stroke down egos and whatnot. You know, and this is what Dr. Wilson was talking about psychologically, like in this motherfucker's mind, in his psyche. You have a big piece of paper. Rather ironically, the paper is white. And the target on the paper is black. Right? And you put the target way off in the distance. Qualifying, you know, headshot, all this type of shit. Right? Quick draw McGraw. So there's a video I saw, you know, this so-called police officer is black, genetically black. And he draws his weapon, you know, out of his holster, able to put it back in and snap his, you know, the snap back on his holster without even looking at it. Now, what's all that about? Just ask yourself. What's all that about? That's his role. He's committed, dedicated. Like Michael Jordan. He's the equivalent of Michael Jordan, driven in his psyche. Michael Jordan, at one point, couldn't beat the Detroit Pistons. They would get to the East Finals and all this little shit, and they would play the Pistons, but he just could not beat them. Couldn't beat them for like 3 years straight. Just couldn't beat them. Just couldn't beat them. So what did he do? He got possessed. He came out obsessed with the Detroit Pistons. He hated the Pistons. He fucking hated them. He hated the dude that was the leader of the Detroit Pistons, Isaiah Thomas. He hated Isaiah Thomas because he couldn't beat him. So he became driven in his psyche. He became something else. And he became obsessed. You know what they would do? They would follow him around with a camera. Showing him going, everybody else was vacationing. This was season over with. No mother. Guess where he was at? He was in the fucking gym, pumping weights. I mean, obsessed. He was driven. He became somebody else. Well, that's that pig who draw that holster without even looking at it. You know, pull it out, pop, 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 put it back in, boom, snap it back. And he got a man standing like he keep the score. So you know. Because it's in his psyche. Now, he's shooting the target. Now, at some point, he becomes so driven that in his mind, not only if he can get him a live one, you see a black image off in the distance. Now, in his psyche, if he get the opportunity to get him an actual real live fucking moving target is on. Now, who begs to differ? This is what we're talking about. Now, I don't know how many other whoever groups, whatnot, persons, whatnot, whatever, you know, go into, but we are. That's what we're doing. Because, again, we believe in politicizing the people. Our people, like the Black Panther Party, they set the example. They led by example. They raised people conscious level. They were so effective. This is one of the things that alarmed the state, the police, is when the Black Panther Party became so influential in the neighborhoods, in the communities, that they transformed the language. From police to pig, even when Charles Manson committed those murders, he had his little minions with him. He did the same shit. He was able to get them in their psyche to a certain level, and had them do whatever he pleased, whatever his desire, whatever orgasm he was having in his mind, whatever he could get off on. And so when he committed those murders, what did he do? He dipped in the blood and he wrote pig across the wall. Now, why did he write pig across that wall? He wrote pig across that wall because he wanted to try to get the state to believe that the Panthers had done it. Yeah, there's something people don't really know about. That type of shit, you know, what Manson was up to. You know, Manson had this thing about some type of race war also. But the effectiveness of the Black Panther Party to correctly size up the police and then apply a terminology to the police due to the relationship that black people, black men particularly, had been having with the state and the corporation that became America in its inauguration of coming here, damn near wiping out the black and brown indigenous people from the top of Canada to the bottom of Chile, and then using force and bringing another group in here of black and brown people and forcing them to do their business and place over them an overseer. From overseer to officer. And so that's what makes them part an arm of the state. The shop troops on the local level. And so the descendants of those Africans, those black men, you know, this Mandingo, this image that has been propped up and placed up in front of white people in general, this black Mandingo, this sexual predator beast who would rape white women at a whim if he had the chance. When in actuality, it was the white women who was going to them when they had the chance. Yeah, that's right. When the husbands left the plantation, they went in there to take a look. That's right. And a lot of that went on that plantation. They didn't go beat the shit out of their women. They went and killed the fucking slaves. See, that's what we're getting at here. This is why they had Jim Crow, the murder of Emmett Till. It's the relationship. Stokely Carmichael, who popularized black power. After adopting it from Willie Ricks, who was known back then under that name, is now known as Baba Mukasa Dada. They were in the rural South, and they began to say the slogan, Black Power. Chairman Mao, who led the Chinese Revolution, said what? Power, in essence, comes through the barrel of a shotgun. See, everybody developed some type of a revolutionary slogan, some type of a slogan that would alter their situation, their conditions. But an altering of the mind, the recapturing of our minds. That's why they achieved success. And they were determined. Like the people in Vietnam. The people in Vietnam started off with bows and arrows. By the time the motherfucking shit was over, they had their possession. They had their shit. They was pushing their helicopters over into the Mekong River. You know, as a, what they, exclamation point. And the Europeans had to flee. This is the type of relationship we're talking about. What we're saying international numbers is the same shit that's been brought out here. So Jalen Walker was shot at 40 times, over 40 times, because they had an appetite for blood. They had blood in their eyes. There's been some people, you know, say, and I've heard the shit myself. I've even heard some white folks say the shit. But did you have to shoot him that many times? It don't occur to you that when once you shot him a couple of times that he was down, that he was what y'all say, neutralized the threat. He was no longer a threat. No, that's you. But in their minds, how many chances they gonna get to actually do it when it have been to target practice so many times shooting a fucking piece of paper with a black image on it? Yeah, that's right. That's what it is. There's a book called On Killing by Lieutenant David Grossman, I believe. Lieutenant Colonel David Grossman, or Colonel Lieutenant David Grossman. And this man is a military freak. This is the same man where the last I know, you know, been going around the country training, you know, police officers. Over 200 law enforcement agencies around the country. There's a documentary. It's a documentary. It's a document called Do Not Resist. There's a document called Do Not Resist. I recommend brothers and sisters watch it. Do Not Resist is a documentary. And there's some mysterious shit, even with the dude who made the documentary, as a matter of fact, white boy. In the process of making a documentary, he filmed the making of the documentary, which means behind the scenes shit, right? But they were able to go out and create this scenario. Like the shit you seen with the Mike Brown, Mike Brown too, but with the George Floyd rebellions that was popping up all over the country. In this documentary, they take a film crew and he was allowed to go into this class and film this white boy standing before them, giving them instruction, teaching them. He's educated them. And this is what he says. He addresses, and it's filled with deputies with him, officers and them. Like, mother just look like this Marlo. It's just filled with them. And he got their undivided attention. And he tells them, you all in here are men and women of violence. And you must be superior in that violence. Now, if that don't say it all, I don't know what will. But who among the so-called black leadership, the nationally known black leadership, is addressing that? And they want black people to somehow, some kind of way, keep throwing their faith back into the basket. They want black people to somehow to keep believing in the police. You know, there's been these attempts. Hell, Shaquille O'Neal was a producer of a documentary. I can't think of the name of it, but I never forget this scene when it comes on. He takes a little girl, little innocent little girl, look like she's in kindergarten or some shit. And he gets this black female, this black, genetically black female officer who may have been a ranking officer, may have been the police, whoever. Or this male officer, as a matter of fact. I think it's the male officer. And what do? They film. And this is no different than a photo op. Like what Donald Trump did. When he took the Bible and he had the military piece cleared away and they go over and they go to this chapel, whatever, right? That was done for the cameras. I mean, this is what they did. They get this genetically black officer and hold a little girl and walk into the school. When I saw that shit, I'm gonna tell y'all what it made me think of. Instantly, I thought about when I was a little boy in kindergarten. And we was in the class one day and the teacher was standing up in the front and we had a visitor. Motherfucker walked up in that, had a police uniform on. Like that powder blue, baby blue with the dark navy pants and the goddamn shoes are so shiny clean, you could see your own image in it like a mirror. shit was creased down. Back in the days, you used a starch, you know. You know, back, you know, in the 70s, this thing, when 70s, 80s, you know, used to buy this starch. And that was a thing back then. I'm up in the iron jeans no more. But that was a thing back then. You know, people just starch their jeans, be starch, I mean, like, man, like cardboard. And that's how he was. And he walked into the classroom, and the teacher introduced to him as higher class. Hey, class, this is Officer Friendly. That's what they call pride conditioning. That's what they call pride conditioning. There's a brother, let me see if I get his name right. Kwanza, Juwanza Kanjufu. Juwanza Kanjufu has a little small little book, sort of like Bobby Wright, a little small little book of the conspiracy to destroy black boys. And he speaks about this thing called prior conditioning. What is prior conditioning? Exactly what it says. Prior to this and so forth. Prior to you becoming a adult male, we're going to prepare you for the future. And this is Officer Friendly. So when you grow up to be a grown man, you respect him. Shit, you even honor him. And so they precondition you for when the shit get fucked up to not rebel. Because in your mind, you still have this thing etched in your brain about Officer Friendly. That was to pacify black men, black boys. Because they know that off into the future, the relationship that had been established was bound to come to blows. It was bound to come to a head. It's a law of nature. It's inevitable it will reach a climax. Even John F. Kennedy, a white president that they assassinated, that they murdered for several reasons. Even this white man has sense enough to understand it. Look. He understood it like a whole lot of rest of them understood it. The only difference was he wasn't afraid to say it out in the open. He wasn't afraid to say it in public. You know what I'm saying? And so what he said, those who make peaceful change impossible make violent revolution inevitable. There was a white man that said that shit. And his sister named Cynthia McKinney, who was a former Georgia State Senator, right? And she had begun to transform her mind the way that she was thinking about shit. Right? And so she started, you know, becoming politicized. It was inevitable. And so they had to get her out of there. When she started mentioning motherfuckers like the Black Panther, you know what I'm saying? The Black Panther, you know what I'm saying? Asada Jacob, who, by the way, is still in exile. You know, after being liberated from one of these concentration camps after attempt on her, soon thereafter Coley and Zay Shakur's life, 1970 on the Jersey Turnpike in the deep of the night, being part of the underground apparatus of the liberation struggle. Right? And so around 81, she was liberated, and she was able to flee to Cuba, which she still had today. And at one point, they had $1 million bounty on her head. Shit, it raised the motherfuckers $2 million. So when Obama get in the office, so was shit. Just the things that people was thinking, you know, just the type of situation that it breeds due to one group's desires to do what? To rule and fucking dominate. So it's only fitting that when you create a condition, fuck, it's bad enough we use segregation. Look, we went from the physical plantation to reconstruction. All reconstruction was just that. People being taught, miseducated in the public food system, thinking reconstruction was something they want to reconstruct the fucking system, and that black people will end up some kind of way as equals of whites. We've been out of our freaking minds to believe that bullshit. They just reconstructed what they already had.
They just put it in a more sophisticated way. Shit, sharecropping. Fuck, it was a new and sophisticated way to keep the nigga, you know, being a dependent. You know, what's sharecropping? You go and get all the tools and whatnot, this, that, and other, and the seed and all this little shit from this motherfucker here, and then you go do all the work, but you got to give him a huge portion of the shit. You mean to tell me we having problems trying to understand poverty today? You know what I'm saying? This was the real shit. And I'm telling you, Malcolm X was set apart because, again, he realized one of the keys was understanding history, the relationship. You cannot beat what you don't know. You cannot conquer what you don't understand. When the state sends its international police into fucking Iraq, what did they do? They didn't send them motherfuckers in there first. They sent another team in there first to do what? To study. To even understand what kind of plants grow. They sent another motherfucker up in there that could to learn the goddamn language. They got a damn school. Well, they keep going and just learn Pashto. What the fuck is Pashto? It's like a dialect of Arabic. They went in and they find out, okay, well, if it's 10 motherfuckers in the room, well, which one do most of them speak in common? Well, 8 of the 10 speak Pashto. Okay, well, learn Pashto then so we can go there and then we can use it. They went in there with these tactics, these strategies. They had a role. That's the international post. Then they go in there. What are they going there for? No, the land grab. To create new conditions. You had it. And when it was all up in there, and then the people decided that they wanted to respond back and kind of want to rebel. They want to fight back, rebel back. What did they do? They get labeled as terrorists. And they was running up through Iraq, rampant. They even got video for, of course, you know, what the Julian Assange, he's WikiLeaks. There's some people who was over who had what I refer to as Jesus moment. The motherfucker could no longer sleep. You know, so they were leaking shit, you know, this one dude who had a, I guess a sex change, or he transferred from a male to a female. Names on the tip of my tongue, can't get it out. Well, anyway, he leaked some video or whatever. You know, you're leaking shit. You know, he brought up boy, his name is on the tip of my tongue. It's gonna come out. From the same, and you see. Like I saw one piece of footage where they showed them up. They rolling in these, I don't know what they was, Humvees or something. They were just rolling, and all these members got these. They're just like a pack of fucking wolves, you know. And they just come up on a motherfucker, a little small cup. I mean, just lift the motherfucker up. Like what shit? Just total wanton savagery. Total wanton savagery. With no regard whatsoever. That's the same psychology that Colonel Grossman, you know, 200 law enforcement around the country. And these niggas is running around here talking about it's a new day because he gonna get paid with a fucking high profile lawsuit. Shit, we got brothers the past 10 fucking years. Philando Castile was murdered on fucking on live feed in front of his own daughter. As he told the pig, when he was asked, did he have a whip? He said, yes, sir. He said, you know, I'm reaching for my ID. And this pig shot him. Explain that shit. Explain it. How do you explain that? They went and got the psychologist for Dylan Klebo when he did the Columbine thing. They went and got the psychologist with him. So explain to us why that pig shot that fucking brother in front of his own fucking daughter. Where was his humanity at then? Where was his morals? Where was his ethics at then? Because it's a whole nother different thing. And when black people begin to understand this shit, when they really begin to understand it, the relationship will change. That's real shit. It's real shit. George Washington and the gang referred to King George as a fucking tyrant. We don't know what King George was doing. We don't know how bad King George is treating us because we ain't have fucking time to try to figure that shit out, because the same pig who crying about tyranny from somebody else has got us under his rule of thumb. Now, who suffered worse tyranny, George and his boys, or we did? And they had the nerve enough to claim that they wanted their liberation. Had the fucking nerve to claim that shit. You tell me what kind of psychology is that? Incredible, an incredible display of a mentality that would just blow your freaking mind. This other brother I want to mention, a brother named Rasheem Carter. Now, this may not have been uniform police, but we know in these rural areas, as Emmett Till found out, there's a movie, A Time to Kill, starring Samuel Jackson. They made the movie Mississippi Burning, I believe, in reference to the murder of Emmett Till. Okay? And in that movie Mississippi Burning, what do they display? In the movie Time to Kill, what do they display? You got the Klan. You got the police. They're all hand in glove. You know, that's been historic. That's been historic. And so this brother was working, I believe, at a construction site. He was contracted. In, was that Taylorsville? No, Laurel, Mississippi. Laurel, Mississippi. 30 minutes outside of Taylorsville. And this brother, you know, was trying to make his way back, you know, from the job. And he started experiencing some problems. He had said that he was being, you know, followed or stalked by some white men in a truck. And so what he does is he goes to a police station, and you know he goes inside, says, you know, somebody's following and whatnot, stuff like that, and he asks for a ride to get back home, and he had told him no because of some jurisdictional thing, out of the jurisdiction. So that was the day before he went missing. He went back again. And, you know, the same thing. But he had managed to, you know, to talk to, you know, his mother, you know. And he told his mother, you know, that he was, some people, you know, was out to harm him or something. You know, and to my understanding, he even gave her some names. You know, and then this brother ended up missing on October the 2nd. He ended up missing on October the 2nd. And his family, some of his family members went to Taylorsville. You know. And they could get hardly any help. He had little success. And so this brother went gone missing. You know, and on November 3rd, they found some skeletal remains on a private property in a wooded area, though. You know, like this, you know, this, again, you know, these cases where it's been these rural murders, you know, of black men and this nonchalant
or response on the part of the local county police, you know. And so they found these remains on November the 3rd, so that's for a month. And it's a 25-year-old brother, and it's a 6-year-old daughter. And he's no longer with us. And he feared for his life. He was not hallucinating at all, period. And so the family, you know, want answers. How could they refuse to help him when he had went to them in distress? And we're told, story goes, that the police is there to serve and protect. Well, they proved that to be problematic. So this is another case, another brother who's been made a casualty, this war on black men. And as I said, you know, in these rural areas, you know, a historical timeline since so-called Reconstruction and Jim Crow. As a matter of fact, it was another book that was put together, A We Charge Genocide. And this book was put together back in the 60s, I believe. It was a team of brothers and sisters. A lot of us may know who Isaac Davis is. You know, Isaac Davis, you know, the actor. I believe Isaac Davis played in what that movie was Spike Lee, the movie Spike Lee made. Can't think of the name of it. But, you know, he played in some movies. You know, he was an older brother. As a matter of fact, when the movie Malcolm X is going off, you know, when he, you know, they do the end part, and the brother that's speaking, well, that's Isaac Davis. Isaac Davis, I believe, did the eulogy for Malcolm X's funeral. Well, him and some other folks had put together, you know, like a team, brother named William Patterson. They compiled an extraordinary timeline of the murders and lynchings of black men in this country. And they have the year. And you can read some of the freaking stories, how some black men had come back from the freaking war and they were proud to be wearing their uniforms and they got attacked because they was wearing these uniforms. You know, the lynchings. This is where Dr. Francis Wilson comes in. The lynchings of black men. For some particular reason, for some very particular reason, there's an original point of origin. For some particular reason, these black men who were being lynched were castrated. What was that all about? The castration of these black men to cut off the male genitalia of these black men. Picnic derives from when they used to drive around in the trucks looking for victims on the Sunday. And they will pick a nigga to lynch. That's where the word picnic comes from. In language, the C and the G are basically the same. Look at the letter C, the capital letter C, and the capital letter G. They're basically the same shape, except for that little perpendicular, lateral line that goes across the bottom of the C, which converts it into the letter G.
And that is where the word picnic came from. But what was behind this removal of the genitalia, though? What was that all about? Dr. Francis Wilson drew the conclusion that that was a way to ultimately take his power away from him. By removing his private part. Symbolically killing his power. Symbolically taking his power. The power to impregnate, produce. More specifically, if he mated with white women, he could produce himself again over and over and over again, which would add to the numbers of people of color. And those white men in their psyche, this is why you have all of these pills and, you know, Viagra and all this shit, you know, stuff to last longer. That's just a science to deal with what they refer to as impotency. You know, the women, they have a ball with that shit, I mean, I guess the joke has been on women for so long, all the sexist male jokes toward women. That's what Dr. Francis Wilson got us to understand. The threat. The threat of the black male genitalia, which would in essence bring about white male genetic annihilation. And so, if the penis is erect, from a lateral point of view, from profile, it looks like a gun. The whole male genitalia, like a pistol. And that's how deep she would get with it. In the psyche of these white men, they had to create the separation of the races and keep them apart. So what did they do? That's the origin of the segregation laws, the Jim Crow laws. Stokely Carmichael, who became known as Kwame Ture, named himself two African leaders, Sekou Toure and Kwame Nkrumah. And he just simply said that those laws were meant to keep white women away from black men. He said it like that on purpose. He didn't say it the other way around, that those laws were meant to keep black men away from white women. No, he said those laws were meant to keep white women away from black men. And this is part of the ongoing psyche. So the black man as the threat is subject to be murdered, to be brutalized, to be kept in his place within society, in the hierarchy. What is it? White man, white woman, black woman now, black man. That's how far the black man has sunk in the hierarchy, in the structure. I didn't even include East Asians and Arabs and Latino and Mexican people. I didn't even include them into it because we're the only ones that named after a color. We don't even name everybody else named after a language or a country. But that's how deep it gets. So in their subconscious, to create the conditions to where you make it possible to stay in these, what the Black Panther call colonies, therefore occupied colonies. So therefore, it is a deadly mix. It's only inevitable that would take place because of the historical relationship. And if we look at it from that perspective, then we understand these murders of black men, these state-backed executions of black men, much better. And we'd be able to deal with it much better. And in all these struggles of oppressed people around the world, you see a similar pattern. In Australia, the war on the black men in Australia, the prison system in Australia, the prison system in New Zealand, the prison system in India. Outside of Africa, India has maybe the next largest black indigenous population in the world. But because of the way we've been socially engineered, we can't see black in India. We can't see that shit. You know, if you go in Southeast Arabia, in the place called Yemen, you'll see the war against the indigenous black men that's carried on there. And that's just to put it on an international level. And the war on black men in South Africa during the apartheid system, which is much more sophisticated now as opposed similar to like the shit here, where you don't see the Ku Klux Klan just basically all over the place now. So used to seeing them with the white sheet, you know, with the hood over their head. Now they motherfucker walk around a briefcase in the suit and tie, creating legislation and passing bills and shit to keep white male patriarchal rule intact. So this war on black men is by design. In order for the system of capitalism to keep perpetuating itself, it has to conduct measures, maneuvers, and whatnot to do just what those slogans on the sides of those cruisers say, to serve and protect and to keep law and order. Who wrote the laws? We damn sure enough didn't. Yeah, we've been fighting to try to get a few of them, and they don't even call them laws. What do they call them? Amendments. And every so, the shit is up for what? Rescinding. It's amazing. We come with the real shit. We believe that this is political education class. And we're going to keep on politicizing, keep on teaching to our last breath. And we got to do what we got to do, just like the state has to do what it has to do. It's more us than it is them. The people in Vietnam, like I said, started off with bows and arrows. And by the time the war was done, they had their own shit. They had their shit of those people. The spirit of the people in Algeria. The French had all the shit. They had planes, the United States. Look, their little white buddies in America was helping their little white buddies in France. You know, when the 9/11 shit went down and France was against America going to war, and the Americans call themselves being anti-French, and these motherfuckers say, we're going to change the name of the French fry to the Freedom Fry and all that bullshit. Man, we ain't playing, man. On that note, we say stay tuned next week for another show. In Defense of the People Radio, brought to you by People's Political Party. I'm one of your hosts, Chairman Nat, and the co-host, Brother Motherland, the National Minister of Defense, and our assault technician on the 1-2, Sister Amelie Oshun, who we love so much for the work that she does
for this organization. You know, so stay tuned next week. We say black power, black people specifically, and all power to the people in general. And on that note, we say good night.